Good morning, early birds. You've caught The Worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio and our friends in the public media spectrum across the region, bringing you the latest news of the day. I'm Carl Lengel, your host. It is the 11th of March, 2026, a Wednesday. Severe winter weather arrives in Montana this week, leading to the potential for blizzards. Officials are asking people to be wary of travel plans starting Thursday. Montana Public Radio's Victoria Traxler has more.
Intense winds will hit the majority of Montana starting late Wednesday night, followed closely by snow lasting through Sunday. Meteorologist Brad Mickelson.
This storm system, it comes in as a warm front, and then it comes back down as a cold front. There's going to be multiple periods and waves of snow.
High sustained winds will be seen across the state. Western Montana forecasters focused concerns on Flathead and Lincoln counties, where widespread wind gusts will reach over 60 miles an hour. East of Glacier National Park and along the Rocky Mountain front, winds could surge from 75 to 90 miles per hour. Officials advised Montanans to be prepared for possible damage to trees, power lines, fences, and roofs. Colder air and precipitation moving southward will likely bring snow and ice onto roadways. High elevation areas may see up to 5 feet of snow, impacting travel over Marias, Lolo, and Lost Trail passes. Officials warned of possible road closures along highways and interstates as well. Isolated, possible blizzard conditions may also emerge along the Rocky Mountain front and in the backcountry.
We just want to make sure that everybody is aware. Have alternative travel plans ready and make sure that everybody is keeping a close watch on the latest information coming out, especially the Montana DOT maps of road conditions.
Mickelson advises people to check in frequently with their local weather service forecast for up-to-date advisories. In Missoula, I'm Victoria Traxler.
A weather forecast for extreme winds across the region, and Northwestern Energy reports they're preparing for possible weather-related outages by bringing in additional staff, equipment, and supplies. The company reminds residents in a Tuesday news release to stay well away from downed or low-hanging power lines. Never attempt to remove a fallen tree or a branch from a power line. Northwestern Energy asks everyone to keep their distance and report downed and low-hanging lines immediately. Montana Democrats gathered in Helena over the weekend to rally ahead of the 2026 election. Party leaders focused their message on rebuilding support for Democrats and unifying around their candidates. Montana Public Radio's Shaley Rager reports.
The party has lost major ground statewide in the last decade. Newly elected party chair Shannon O'Brien told attendees at the annual Mansfield-Metcalf dinner that the party is focused on grassroots efforts to bring in new voters.
If we know anything, we know that trust is what we need to rebuild, and we're going to do it.
While Democrats have struggled in statewide races, the party gained 11 seats in the legislature in 2024. This year, the party is fielding 118 candidates for 125 legislative seats, a vast improvement from the last midterms when Democrats left three dozen seats uncontested. The party recently hired a new executive director, Emily Marburger, who says she brings experience clawing back political ground. Marburger comes to Montana from Pennsylvania and said she helped flip the majority in the state house from red to blue.
Let's unite, let's organize, and let's win.
Unity may be a challenge in the U.S. Senate race. The Democratic primary for the seat is crowded with five candidates. In addition, former University of Montana President Seth Bodner is running for the office as an independent. Democratic U.S. Senator John Tester voiced support for Bodner running as an independent and said the Democratic label was a poison to his past campaigns. Bodner has maintained that he's running as an independent because he doesn't subscribe to either party. Bodner did not attend the Mansfield-Metcalf dinner, but did hold a campaign event in Helena shortly before the dinner. In Helena, I'm Shaley Rager.
Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon will allow a major school funding bill to become law without his signature. The bill will boost teacher pay across the state, but it also includes other provisions that have worried education advocates and sent the bill on a rocky journey through the legislature. In a letter explaining his decision not to sign, Gordon said the bill lacks vision. But he said he won't stop the bill with a veto so that teachers can get raises. Gordon also took aim at the bill's instructional silo. That's a provision that restricts classroom-specific funds from being spent elsewhere, like for buses or school lunches. The governor said school districts need more flexibility so they're not put in a tight spot if disaster strikes, and they need to, for example, repair a roof. The legislative committee behind the bill plans to dig into school funding even more ahead of next year's session. They aim to address school safety, nutrition, and more. A first of its kind statewide health insurance trust for school employees got the green light from state regulators this week. Montana Public Radio's Austin Amistoy reports administrators are hopeful it could help control one of education's most expensive line items.
Hellgate Elementary Superintendent Molly Blakely in Missoula remembers when her district was hit with a proposed 18% increase in the cost of its health insurance plan. She was in her first year leading the school.
And then I sort of sat down and crunched the numbers and thought, this is just impossible for people.
So began an annual wrestling match between Blakely's district and insurers to keep health insurance premiums from rising too quickly for the school to afford. Annual bumps meant teachers were paying as much as $700 out of pocket each month. It's a national problem Montana lawmakers proposed fixing in a big way back in 2023. The state would provide a $40 million boost to get a new school health insurance trust off the ground if enough districts and schools signed on. The trust's longtime strategy officer, John Doran, says they've now met those goals.
Schools have needed this. Schools have wanted this for two decades. And to have it become a reality is something very, very special.
Doran says the trust will negotiate health insurance benefits and premiums on behalf of its members. The massive size of its membership will give it new bargaining power to keep prices low. Superintendents like Molly Blakely say the trust could be a game changer, providing much needed predictability. It's set to begin enrolling members this July. In Missoula, I'm Austin Amistoy.
Monday marked the first sighting of a grizzly bear in Yellowstone National Park this year. According to a press release from the park, biologists spotted the bear in the backcountry of the northern section of the park feeding on a bison carcass. March 9th falls within the typical period of first sightings for males in the park. Male grizzlies often come out of hibernation in early March. The park reports the first sightings of a grizzly in 2025 was March 14th. In 2024, it was March 3rd. And in 2022 and 2023, first sighting was March 7th. Females and cubs typically emerge in April and May. The park warns that bears emerging from hibernation may react aggressively to encounters with people as they feed on winter carcasses. Rangers encourage visitors to protect themselves from bears by carrying bear spray, staying alert, and hiking in groups. Montana's snowpack deficits are growing as unseasonably warm temperatures persist. Montana Public Radio's Everett O'Brien reports.
As of March 1st, most Montana basins report below normal snowpack. That's according to the latest Water Supply Outlook report from the USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service in Bozeman. February brought well below normal precipitation to northwest and central Montana, as well as the Powder and Tongue River basins. Southwest and south central Montana received near to slightly below normal monthly precipitation. The dry spell worsened last month. 95% of the state is now experiencing drought. That compares to just over half the state in drought by the end of December. There's still plenty of time for conditions to change. In the short term, forecasters are calling for heavy mountain snow later this week and through the weekend in many parts of Montana. Reporting from Missoula, I'm Edward O'Brien.
When the pandemic forced many organizations to pivot to online meetings and events, AARP Wyoming asked its members what they wanted to do to stay active and socially engaged. Eric Galatas with Wyoming News Service reports.
Since then, the state's largest advocacy group for people aged 50 and older has created a virtual event center that offers everything from line dancing and yoga to photography and art classes. Outreach Director Jennifer Byer says on Fridays throughout March and April, they're offering For the Birds, from backyard to binoculars, where participants will learn how to spot, identify, and track wild bird populations.
There are all sorts of cool websites where you can track bird migration, and there are apps that you can use to listen to bird songs and identify birds while you're walking.
There are also in-person birding field trips planned for Cheyenne, Laramie, and Sheridan in partnership with the Audubon Society. Beyer says 99% of all events are free of charge, and you don't have to be 50 years or older to participate. All of the Zoom events are also recorded and available on demand. For a complete list of events, visit aarp.org/wyevents. I'm Eric Galatis.
While spring hasn't officially sprung, gardeners are already looking to the growing season ahead. YPR's Kay Erickson has more on a recent seed swap in Billings.
Yellowstone County Extension agent Anthony Sammartino runs the county's Master Gardener program and was overseeing the Billings Public Library's seed swap on Saturday.
When we started this, there was five of us volunteers, and we'd be happy that five people would show up for something. And now we have probably over 300 people going to come through and visit with us today.
This annual event brings together businesses, organizations, and horticulture friends who donate free seeds, pots, plant starter kits, and gardening advice to the attendees looking to get a start on their gardening plans, like Allison Barrow.
Let's grow something different this year. This year we're rainbow carrots instead of just orange. So
the core of all of this gardening is the seed library, a file cabinet on the second floor of the Billings Library that's stocked with regionally adapted seeds available for free. The goal is to reduce local food insecurity and foster the enjoyment of gardening and healthy eating by providing seeds and gardening classes and workshops on things like tree trimming, soil health, and how to save your seeds for next year. No library card needed. The intention is to cultivate more people like Allison Farrell.
I love to garden.
In Billings, I'm Kay Erickson.
That's The Worm for this Wednesday. Catch up with us tomorrow. We'll have another episode for you early birds then.
The Worm is a production of Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Metal art call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.